Tonight, if you remember from this morning, our little confession of faith was from 1 Peter chapter 1, probably a well-known part of Scripture for a number of us, especially for what it says here, some wonderful things. And we're just going to draw out a few things from this passage. And I'm going to read it first and then pray, and then we'll spend a little time here on what he says. It's so connected to what we heard this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to open your word. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be with us. Open our hearts and our minds to these things. Lord, as we heard this morning, help us to grab your kingdom, to take hold of our inheritance even now, letting go of our kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You might have noticed this morning in our passage the way that Jesus refers to his people. I didn't really make a big deal out of it, but there were two times that he referred to his people. I don't know if you remember it. You remember he said, he called them a little flock. Fear not, little flock. But up above that, when he's talking about clothing them, he says, you know, your heavenly Father clothed you. He says, you of what? You remember it? Of little faith. And often we can read that, and it sort of comes off as a rebuke. I don't think that's really what's going on there that much. I see that actually there's a piece of it that you can feel is a little bit of a rebuke, but in some ways, he's describing the people he loves. You of little faith. You who barely understand. You who barely believe. You who are abundantly loved. And compared to the love that you have, you believe this much compared to how much you are loved. You're the one, this is me, who struggles to put God first. That's who he's talking to. You have little faith. But it's not really a term of demeaning. He's not demeaning his people. It's actually, in some ways, a language of love for his little flock with little faith. And what's interesting is it's this little flock with little faith that God finds pleasure in giving his kingdom to. You, me, little flock, little faith, he gives us his grand kingdom and all that that means. The Bible often contrasts like God's greatness with our smallness, God's strength with our weakness, his perfect faithfulness with our faltering little faith. Just constantly. It's not about our faith, and you know that. It's about the person who we're putting our faith in. And yet, he wants our faith to grow. He wants us to increase our faith. He wants us to grow up into maturity. We believe these things. Our lives are changed by the truth of the gospel. They're changed by these incredible truths that he pours out on his people continually. This is where he was telling us this morning, let go of your kingdom and take hold of mine. And here, from 1 Peter, he uses these three terms that I'm just going to pick out. And it's where he talks about our inheritance. This is synonymous with the kingdom. Your inheritance, how does he describe it? Look at verse 4. So, you have this living hope because of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 4, it's to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So I'm just going to take those three words. We're going to look at them just for a few minutes. Imperishable. This is the word indestructible. It cannot be destroyed. What in this life cannot be destroyed? What in this life is imperishable? That's probably true. It's a good answer. Fruitcake and Twinkies. I hadn't thought of that. I shouldn't have asked this question. But like bananas, how long do they last?
An hour.
An hour. Unless you're going to make banana bread. You got to eat them in a few days. It doesn't really work that way. On a bigger scale, nations rise, fall. Clothing doesn't even last. Styles go in and out. Guys wear skinny jeans now. Anathema. Shouldn't happen. I'm sorry, my body just doesn't fit that. Hurricanes, tornadoes, cancer. Our health is so fleeting. Debbie told me today, at 40, it's all downhill. I don't know how long it's been going on, but every time I bend down to pick something up, I make a noise. Y'all know this, because y'all do it too. If you're over 30, nothing lasts. Nothing lasts. Everything perishes. Everything falls apart. And then he says that where we're headed, and amazingly what is ours right now, is indestructible. It's imperishable. It cannot be destroyed. This means utter safety for you. You know, we talked about last week with the fears, everything we fear. What would it be like to have no fears? Remember, there, a lot of this is in reference to the land of Canaan when the people would go in and, you know, they're there and bad guys are always coming in. There's all kinds of problems happening. They're never in complete safety. It doesn't matter what size gate or wall they built. Fear. But just imagine a time with no fear. Utter safety can't be destroyed. That's where we're headed. It's what our inheritance is. It's what the kingdom is. It's being given us. Well, the second word is undefiled. Undefiled, it's pure. Spotless. Amazing. What in this world is pure? No answer. I think of maybe a newborn baby. The baby comes out. Super, super cute. Eyes are looking up at you. These little hands. The skin is like perfect, sort of, especially like, you know, when you give it a bath. And at the same time, you know that those eyes that are looking at you are waiting to manifest original sin. Waiting. It doesn't remain pure very long. Doesn't remain innocent very long. My sin is going to cause problems for that child. They're going to be brought into a world and they're just immediately brought into a place of impurity. Corruption. You know, I think about what do uncorrupted eyes, what does it look like if we were to see an uncorrupted place? Think about the city of God, the streets of gold, and things you try to imagine when you think about eternity. When you think about seeing God's new creation. What's that look like? I wonder if it's something like, you know, we have these Egyptian ruins and the difference between sort of them actually you seeing the ruins and everything's falling apart, and they sort of show you the graphics of what they really looked like. It's like when years ago, went to Rome, got to see the Colosseum, right? Saw all, I mean, it's in ruins, but they're trying to change it, but it's amazing. And then you go watch the movie Gladiator. You'll remember this movie from early 2000s. And it shows the beauty of what Rome really would have looked like. I wonder if it's something like that. But we're just so used to living in corruption. We're so used to seeing the ruins. It's really hard to imagine what life is like without that corruption, without the ruins. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Think about this. Place that's holy, no semblance of sin, not even a desire to sin. You don't have a desire to sin. What do we do with that? And it cannot be defiled. It's not only that it's never been defiled, it can't ever be defiled. No chance of that. So no chance of destruction, no chance for corruption. And then he gives his last word, and he uses the word unfading. This is permanent, eternal, forever. As most of you know, Boston turned four. I almost forgot how old he was. He turned four yesterday. On Friday, when I was telling him he was going to turn four, and I'm holding him, and I go, "Hey, buddy, you're going to be four." And he goes, you could tell he was about to start crying. I go, "What's the matter?" "I want to stay free." I was like, "Me too." I mean, I was starting to cry. No, stay three, that's fine. And always stay free. Stay free, not three. I don't ever want that to happen. It makes you go back and watch videos of the children when they're little. And all of you that have gone through this know exactly what I'm talking about. There's these moments in time you wish you could freeze them. And everybody has their different times, probably. Not 13, no. But there's these precious moments of the age of your children when you're like, if I could just put you in a capsule and you're that age forever, I want that. I don't even care if I have to change your diaper. I'll do it forever, just as long as you're like that. Here's the thing, though. Boston will never be three again. Ever again. I never get those times again. I can watch videos. I never get to go back. Never get to relive life with him again at that age. I can watch the video. It's all I got. Never throughout eternity will I get to do that. Think about how life changes. It's hard. We don't want things to change, like all the good things anyway. We want to freeze time. Think about this. For eternity, in a sense, nothing changes. No chance for corruption. No chance for destruction. And you'll never get bored. It'll always be new. It'll always be bright. And it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. You're going to see better. And you're never like, if we wake up, "Oh, I got to go do this again. This is day 1,000,000, you know." No. We will enjoy forever. Absolutely amazing. This is what he's conveying to us. There's no chance of it ever ending. Now, while each of these, you know, these words are pointing to the land of Canaan, they're talking about our inheritance, do you notice these words? Indestructible, pure, eternal. Not talking about impersonal things. Talking about the person of Christ. How much more exciting is it to get something personal and really to get a person as a present than to get impersonal things? The inheritance is not just like this place that is forever, that's without destruction, that's without corruption. It's the person of Jesus who is indestructible, who is pure, holy, perfect. He's eternal. That is where we are headed. So when the Bible says, paraphrasing, give up your kingdom and take hold of his kingdom, it's saying, take hold of Christ. And when you see the way that Peter describes it, which one do you want to grab a hold of? The temporary things? Things are corrupted? Things that fall apart, the things that are impure, or the things that are perfect. That's what's put before us in the Bible all the time. It's what was put before us this morning. It's the question for us. And it's the questions we're about to discuss. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, you never cease to amaze. You never cease to give us a fuller and more colorful picture of our Savior. And just these three simple words that Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, gave to us. It unpacks to us who our Savior is, unpacks to us what our inheritance is, what our kingdom is, that you're calling us to, that you've brought us into. And Lord, may you work in our hearts to draw us closer and closer to yourself. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.